There's an aspect of the fullness of God that I know Pastor John Francis and Aruna and all of their workers are very aware of. It's one that in the United States and in Australia we are not only not aware of, but not prepared for. And that is that the more we delve into the fullness of God's grace, and the more that fullness is expressed in our lives, the greater is going to be the hostility and the opposition against us. God's fullness merits the hatred of this world. God's fullness and all the richness that it brings into our lives is met by the hatred of men. And I believe that Christians in America and Australia are about to be baptized into some of the sufferings that your brothers and sisters around the world are familiar with. In this passage we have, and I'm just going to take a short section beginning in verse 21, where the Apostle Paul is encouraging the souls of the disciples that he's made. And if you'll just follow with me in verse 21 and following, Acts 14, it says, "And when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch." Now, this is the place where Paul faced his greatest persecutions. And he chose to go back into basically the lion's den. He had earlier been stoned and left for dead at Lystra. And yet he went back into that place. Verse 22 says, "Strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. And so when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. And after they had passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. When they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. From there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work which they had completed. When they had come and gathered the church together, they reported all that God had done with them, and that he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles, and so they stayed there with them a long time with the disciples." Basically, after all that we've studied, for those of you who have been a part of the conference so far, and for those of you that will get the information, and I would encourage you to do so, we have really enjoyed the fullness that God has poured out on us during this time. We've enjoyed the fullness of fellowship and the fullness of good teaching from Daniel. And yesterday I had an opportunity to share, John Francis had an opportunity to share. I know that those of us who are teaching have been enriched by each other. We always are. It's always a great privilege for those of us who teach to be taught and to listen to others. But I just want to touch on an aspect of John Francis and his ministry that you may not be aware of and certainly didn't come through too much in the video, and that is the suffering. There is great opposition in India, as there is a rising tide of opposition in America and in Australia. And I'm just going to say this flat out because most of you know I don't believe in beating around the bush. You better decide whether you're serious about your Christian faith, because you are going to be tested. And that testing is going to come soon, and it's going to come with a lot of force and a lot of power. And if you think that you can just be a private Christian, a secret Christian, whatever you want to call it, passive Christian, there are no pacifists in God's army. It is boldness and aggression for the cause of the cross, for the cause of Christ. Now, I know I see things that you probably don't see, but I'm standing here to tell you, you better get yourself ready. There's going to be a cost. some 3 years ago, maybe 5 years ago, in Orissa State, spontaneously, out of nowhere, it seems, persecution broke out in which hundreds and hundreds, thousands probably, we'll never know the number, of Christians were slaughtered. This is a trend that is becoming popular. I happen to come from a country in which we have a president who claims he's a Christian, but does everything he can to promote the cause of Islam. And we know that we are going to be facing tremendous persecution. The more we stand for the truth of this book, the more sure it is that we are going to face the hatred of this realm. But when this persecution broke out and these thousands of Christians were slaughtered, many pastors and their families, their homes burned, their families destroyed, many of these people ended up living in the forest, just basically living like animals to try to survive. There was one story that stood out in that, and it's a story of victory. It's a story of courage. It's a story of what fullness looks like in the face of persecution. A little 10-year-old girl, daughter of a pastor and his wife, was taken and quickly shoved into a little cabinet, a little closed closet that was in the home as the pastor and his wife were forcibly drugged from the home. Their lives were taken and the home was burned. The home burned down around this little 10-year-old girl who was horribly, horribly burned over the majority of her body. They took her to medical help. She did survive. And when she was finally getting to the point where she could be interviewed, naturally there were people that wanted to go and talk to her. And so they said, "What do you want to be done to the people who did this?" Her answer was, "I want them to find the forgiveness that they can find through the love of Christ." There's the victory and there's the fullness. And that little girl has become a symbol and a standard and a challenge, as many, many others have, to the people of India. When that persecution happened, when those people began, through those many tribulations, to really enter into the kingdom of God, not come to saving faith. Paul's talking about two different things there. Through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. There are a lot of believers who will never know this side of eternity, what it means to enter the kingdom of God. But the people of India know. And Pastor John Francis and his wife and their family, their church, their workers, they know. When this happened, I know Pastor John Francis and his church mobilized everything they could to alleviate some of the suffering of those people up in Orissa State, because they know that these people are our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we have a bond with them that is greater than the bond of flesh and blood, greater than the bond of family kinship, because we are members of the family of God. So I use this passage to challenge each and every one of us. Believe me, I'm toning it down. I'm trying to be as gentle as I can, but I'm trying to be as honest as I can with you, to faithfully prepare and equip you. Whatever path remains to us is not going to be an easy one if we choose to enter the kingdom of God, if we choose to live as citizens of heaven, if we choose to honor the King with our lives that we honor with our lips. There's going to be a price, and it will be a heavy price, and therefore, whether he speaks on that topic or not, I ask you to listen to him, because standing before you is a man who understands very well that there is a price that this realm and this world extracts for the fullness that we enjoy. It's a small price compared to what we have in Christ. There are present light afflictions, Paul says, that work for us that future eternal weight of glory. And therefore, it is a great honor for me. I hold Pastor John Francis very, very high in my estimation. I've worked with pastors all over the world. I know some very able men, very capable men in the ministry, in spiritual warfare, in the teaching of Scripture. Believe me, he is at the top. And I'm always honored to be in his presence whenever we go to visit them. They show us a hospitality that I know has been returned to them in many ways by many of you. And we're so thankful that you have shown them that kind of welcome and that kind of reception. It's I'm sure, very blessed and refreshing rest for them to be on the receiving end instead of the giving end, which so often they are. And I'm glad that they can experience that and go back strengthened and invigorated and back into the battle of their ministry in India. I ask you to welcome Pastor John Francis and to hear him, listen carefully, squeeze everything you can from his message, because he's a man who lives what he teaches and what he says. Pastor?
Thank you, Pastor Gene, for giving me this opportunity. And good morning, everybody. I'm so happy to stand before you once again this morning. And I should say, I really enjoyed this conference and the fellowship above all. And the teachings started on Friday night with Pastor Daniel and yesterday morning with Pastor Gene. And really, we were so much blessed. And I would like to thank the Crossroad Bible Church and all the dear brothers and sisters who are engaged in organizing all this event. And once again, I thank you for inviting me and my wife to be a part in this conference. So I thank God for this wonderful opportunity. Before I do anything, I would like to call upon my wife, Aruna, so that you can see her. And come. And she has a song this morning to sing for you. Of course, it is in Telugu, my mother tongue. And maybe I will tell the meaning of the song. Then she can. Okay. Can I give this mic?
నా పేరు అరుణ, మీ అందరికీ తెలుసు జాన్ ఫ్రాన్సిస్ గారు మిసెస్ ని.
As you know, I am Aruna, the wife of John Francis.
మేము ఇండియా నుంచి వచ్చాము. ఇండియా నుంచి ఆస్ట్రేలియా రావడానికి మాకు హెల్ప్ చేసిన ప్రతి ఒక్కరికి థ్యాంక్స్ చెప్తున్నాను.
As we came from India, just I would like to express my special thanks to everybody in this congregation who really helped us to come and attend this conference.
Australia raavata idi naaku first time. Nenu uhinchani vishayam anamata 10 days lone mottham anta pack up cheskon raavatam jarigindi.
This is first time for me to come to Australia. Within 10 days we were invited and we got granted visa and the tickets, so it was all surprise to me to come and stand before you this morning.
అలా ఇక్కడికి వచ్చిన తర్వాత మీ అందరి ప్రేమ, అభిమానం, ఆత్మీయత చూసి మేము ఎంతగానో ఎంకరేజింపడ్డాం.
When we came here and saw your fellowship and love towards us and the ministry back at home, we were so much encouraged by your hospitality and the love, and we really thank God for what God is doing from your side to our people back at home.
అలాగే జీన్ గారికి, నాన్సీ గారికి, ఇంకా హెల్ప్ చేసిన జాన్ గారికి, జఫ్ గారి, వీళ్ళందరికీ నా ప్రత్యేకమైన వందనములు తెలియజేస్తున్నాను.
Few names
She is naming Pastor Jean and Nancy and Jeff and John Holman. We know your faces, but we cannot name all of you.
అలాగే మాకు ఆతిథ్యం ఇచ్చిన ఫ్యామిలీస్ అందరికి నా ప్రత్యేకమైన వందనాలు తెలియజేసుకుంటున్నాను.
ఫ్యామిలీస్ ఎస్పెషల్లీ హూ రియల్లీ గివ్ అస్ ద గుడ్ హాస్పిటాలిటీ అండ్ షో దేర్ లవ్ ఆల్ దిస్ వీక్ అండ్ కెప్ట్ అస్ ఇన్ దేర్ హోమ్స్ అండ్ ఫెడ్ అస్ నైస్లీ. And we would like to thank each and everybody this week.
Me food chala bondi. I like your food.
She is very much accepted by the food. Food is very good, she says.
మా మినిస్ట్రీ గురించి మీరు ఇప్పుడు చూసారు కదా, ఇద్దరం కలిసి అలాగే మా ఫ్యామిలీ అంతా కలిసి ఇప్పుడు మన టాపిక్ ఫుల్ఫిల్నెస్ గురించి కాబట్టి సంపూర్ణంగా మేము కూడా దేవుని సేవలో ఉండాలన్న ఆశపడుతున్నాము. మీ అందరూ ప్రయర్ చేయవలసిందిగా కోరుతున్నాను.
The theme of this conference is the fullness of God and me and my family, this is our dedication, totally completely dedicate for the ministry, for the cause of the ministry among our people in our country.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. Now she is going to sing a song which means, just I want to tell you the meaning of this song as she is going to sing Telugu. Forever I want to be with you, Jesus. That's the meaning of the song. When I was drowned in the sin, you have lifted me up with your love and established me in your word and faith. And with your love, upon me you have showered your love and you have called me for the ministry to see greater things in my life. And you have done many, many miracles in my life. Therefore, I am very thankful and thank you, Jesus. And I want to live with you forever and ever in your presence. That's the meaning of this song. And kindly hear the song.
Sadakalamu neeto nenu jeevinchedanu yesayya. Sadakalamu neeto nenu jeevinchedanu yesayya 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 నీ సాక్షి నాపై చూపించి నీ సాక్షిగా నన్ను పిలిచావయ్యా. ఆశ్చర్య కార్యములు ఎన్నో చేసి నీ పాత్రగా నన్ను మలిచావయ్యా. ఆశ్చర్య కార్యములు ఎన్నో చేసి నీ పాత్రగా నన్ను మలిచావయ్యా. యేసయ్యా 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 సదాకాలము నీతో నేను జీవించేదను యేసయ్యా. సదాకాలము నీతో నేను జీవించేదను యేసయ్యా.
Thank you very much, and I'm very happy to see Brother Ian Court and his dear family. I never expected to meet him because I do not know whether he is available or not. And the other day when she was driving through the that working place, I think she Valeri told me that this is where Ian Court works. But today we were so happy to see Brother Ian Court and his family. Thank you, sir, once again for all the work, because thousands upon thousands of children are being blessed by the artwork you have been sending through Sister Nancy and the team. And we thank you for all the work that you are doing and helping in the ministry. Many times we don't understand how the result is coming when we do something for the ministry. But as Ian Court is drawing the pictures and sending through Sister Nancy, and we are printing them, converting all the material into the Telugu, and thousands of books every year we print. And even after Nancy's work is done, even more books are left with us. Throughout the year, we use those books to evangelize the children and the villages throughout the year. And those books, the material that we send through the children, speak very powerfully into their homes, into the hearts of their parents and brothers and sisters in the villages. We have got plenty of witnesses how God blessed the parents through those material that we are giving in the CBS classes. Therefore, I would like you to continue this work to bless India, to bless the children of India, because statistics tell in India below 18% of the population are just under 18 years. No, 30% of the population of India under 18 years children. Therefore, there is a lot of population among the children. There is lots of work to be done in the children. Therefore, kindly help Sister Nancy as we are continuing this work. Kindly pray and help as much you can in this children ministry. Coming to my ministry and my life details, my name is John Francis, as you know, and my father's name is Brahmayya. I don't know if you can say it, Brahmayya. That means creator God in Hinduism. He was a Hindu. Therefore, Brahma means God the creator who made all the universe. As we have in the John's Gospel, first chapter, in the beginning was the Word. Word was with God and Word was God. That's what we have in the John's Gospel. And Hindus say the same word, Om, they call it. They call the same word, we call it word or logos, and they call it Om. The different name of that power of whom is Brahma. Brahma is the one who made all the creation around us. So they call my father's name Brahmaya. So he was basically a Hindu man. When he became, in his childhood, he lost his father, my grandpa. So my father never knew the father's love, but his mother grew him up. Only one child she has, my father, and she grew him up and gave him a bit education in those days, which was very rare. My father became a public school teacher in those days. He went to the military. He worked for a few years in the military. Then she sent him to the school training teacher. Then he became a public school teacher. And as you know, in India we have arranged marriage system. There is no love marriage in India. So our parents arrange marriages for us. Even me and Arna also. Our parents or her parents, they talk together and they bring us together and get us married. The arranged marriage system. Since my father was a school teacher, his mother and the relatives sat together to find a girl for him. They found my mother, whose name was Grace. My mother was born and brought up in a Christian family. She studied in a Lutheran mission compound. That's why my mother's name was Christian name Grace. So, because my mother was also a teacher, my father was also a teacher before they got married. Because of their same profession, their elders decided to combine this couple in the marriage. That's how their marriage was arranged and they became wife and husband. But there was a fight in the family because of God and the religion. He was a Hindu, she was a Christian. My mother was from her young stage, she was a great prayer warrior. So her prayer was this, to bring her husband, my father, into the salvation. So God slowly started working in his heart. First step he made to go to a Catholic church. Because he was a school teacher, Catholic father, priest used to come to our village and do some kind of Catholic church ministry. But they don't live in our village. So they appointed my father, who was a school teacher. In those days, school teachers were the evangelists in the villages, in my childhood, before my birth and my childhood also. So this Catholic priest appointed my father, as he is interested to go to the Catholic church, as an evangelist on behalf of the, what we call, Catholic church for my village. So in my childhood, that Catholic priest father used to supply lots of supplies from the Great Britain, from the British people, like big coats and wheat and the milk powder and many, many other things through my father. My house used to be filled with many other things because England used to rule in those days my country. So my father slowly became a Catholic believer, but my mother was still not happy fully, but she was quite delighted to see he is going to some kind of Christian church. Still, she continued to pray for the salvation of my father. Finally, my father had some kind of dispute, I do not know what was, and he had to leave the Catholic church. While he was in the Catholic church, I was born. That's why they gave me name John Francis. It's a Catholic name, in fact. So they named me as a John Francis, and well, in my childhood, many disease called tetanus attacked me, and I was treated in the hospital for 6 long months. After the treatment of the 6 months, doctors declared I was dead. Then my parents brought me to make my funeral, and at that time, my mother was praying and crying in the presence of the Lord, somehow again the life found in my body. I don't call it as a miracle or whatever it is. They found life again in my body. The body which was brought home to make funeral. We don't keep bodies in the fridges in India. Even still today we don't do that after the death, Just they simply deliver the bodies to make the funeral. The same day or the next day we make the funerals. So that's what happened in my childhood also. They gave whenever I died, immediately they delivered the body for the funeral. But when my mother was praying and crying in the presence of the Lord, they found some life in my body. Some finger was moving. And again, everybody came together and you said, there is life. This boy is not dead. And let us take him to the hospital again. This was some 47 years back story it was. So again, they took me to the hospital. And God gave me again life and strength. Therefore, I am standing before you. I am not Lazarus. So at that time, my parents dedicated my life for the ministry. My father wanted to make me as a Catholic priest. That was his desire. My mother wanted to make me as a pastor, Christian church pastor. That was the dispute again. So finally they both committed my life for the cause of the ministry. And then after a few years, my father also came into the full faith. And he got saved, accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. We all started to go to the one church. My father, my mother, we are four children. We are four siblings. I had two elder sisters and one elder brother. I am the youngest of the family. So we all six people used to go to the same church by God's grace. They brought me up in the fear of the Lord. But when I came to the youngsters, like 18, 19 years old, I was spoiled with many other things with all the children in the village in my young age. But in 1981, when I was going through the college studies, that was the time when God spoke to me very personally. I totally forgot that I was dedicated for the ministry. Just I left everything what my parents used to tell me when I was at home, but for my further studies, I had to leave my village and go to the different town far away from my hometown for my further education. That was the time when I attended the youth meeting. God very specifically, very personally, talked with me through his word. One preacher was standing and preaching the word to all the congregation. I was sitting somewhere back in the bench. And God started to intervene in my life. I have nothing to do with the pastor. He was preaching some message. But God started to speak with me very personally and showing all the things what I have been doing all my life from the childhood. I have called you for the ministry, but you are rebelling against me. You have gone out of my way. Therefore, you need to come back and you need to surrender your life for the ministry. And then I'm going to use you. That's what the God was speaking with me in that meeting. Then I knelt down and repented for all my sins. And I committed my life personally into the hands of the Lord. That's when I received the Lord as my personal Lord and Savior in that meeting. Then I got baptized. When I went back to my hometown and shared everything with my pastor, my pastor sent me to the Bible college for the Bible training. From then you have seen the some of the pictures that some of the things that God has done. In 1983, I went to the Bible college. It was 3 years Bible training. 1983 to 86, I got Bible training and came back in the 1986 to my hometown again. And as I told you, my parents are not pastors. We don't have any church. My parents are just church attending believers and helping the pastors in the ministry, but they are not pastors. They don't have any church background. I came back after the Bible training And I do not know what to do because I don't have church. My pastor is there, my pastor's son is there to look after the church. And I'm helping the pastor, but I need to have my own ministry somewhere, somewhat. And I was praying and praying, Lord, lead me where I need to stand, start the ministry because I have finished my training. I'm ready to start the ministry. When I was waiting upon the Lord and in prayer, three people came from the city called Hyderabad, where I'm living now. Hyderabad is nearly 700 kilometers away from my hometown. The city which I have never seen with my own eyes. I have never went to Hyderabad. It's the capital of our state. It's a big city. So I had no opportunity to go to the Hyderabad all these years. So three people came, heard about me, heard about my Bible training that I finished, and came to me and knocked our house, and my parents talked with them. We want to invite your son to the city of Hyderabad to look after our church. We have only two families in the Hyderabad city, but we are in a need of a pastor. We heard about your son. We want to talk with him. Then my parents called me and they talked with me. I was afraid. My parents afraid. Traveling 700 kilometers is a big thing for Indians. So traveling, that's why my wife is telling, coming to Australia is a very big thing for us. So we don't leave our own county and go to the different county even. That's a big thing for us. So initially I told, I'm not ready to come to work in Hyderabad, which is far away from my parents and my hometown. Let me pray and see if it is the will of God, I can come. Otherwise, I cannot guarantee to come and work with you. So they have gone back to the Hyderabad. I told them, please call me after maybe 1 week. So me and my friend, who was my pastor's son, we both were praying, and we fasted for 3 days for this cause, whether to go to Hyderabad or not, whether it is the will of God or not, to know that. After 3 days of prayer, fasting and prayer, my friend, my pastor's son, who is my friend, he came to me and told me, Brother Francis, I feel a peace, and my peace of my peace in my within my heart concerning your going to Hyderabad. I feel this is the perfect will for your life to go to Hyderabad and start the ministry. When he advised me, when we prayed together, we thought this is the will of God to go to Hyderabad and start the ministry. Again, these people came after 10 days to know whether I'm coming or not. Then I told that I want to come along with you to start the ministry in Hyderabad. So these people took me. I was not married. I was just 21 years old at that time, in 86. So these people took me to the city of Hyderabad. Hyderabad is filled with Muslims. They speak different language than what we speak. They speak Urdu, which is called the Arabic language, Muslim language that was. So I do not know any kind of Urdu. I cannot speak with the Muslims. All I know is Telugu and little bit of English in my Bible training course. So I went to the Hyderabad city. I started to work by God's grace. Just I started with two families only. Two men and two women used to sit before me for the Sunday service. That was my first starting. Just four people only used to come for my Sunday service. Because they brought me for the ministry, they were coming and sitting with me. So I started the ministry with four people by God's grace. And there was a passion in my heart. I do not know why it was. There was a desire in my heart in that young stage, just 21 years old. Now my younger son Joshua is 21 years old. But he doesn't have that much passion what I had in those days. So I had a passion to present the gospel to the people. I had a desire to take the Bibles and the New Testament, go into the streets and give the New Testaments freely to the people. I used to knock their doors and present the gospel, give the gospel, New Testament, and leave the literature with in their homes. I was just 21 years young boy. When I was going on the streets and meeting the elderly people and speaking about God, they used to abuse me. They used to mock at me. You are a young kid. What you know about God? What you can tell?
about God. We have lots of gods in India. We have our gods of our fathers and forefathers, they used to tell. So I was not embarrassed. I have a great passion to take and tell about Jesus Christ. All I want to do, go and tell somebody about the love of Jesus Christ. I worked for 6 long months in this passion. And by God's grace, God brought 50 to 60 people into my congregation. Out of 60 people, 30 accepted Jesus Christ, and they stood with baptized, and they stood with me in the church, and we have a nice church started in the city called Hyderabad. All these people, 60 people, came from the neighboring villages, towns, out of Hyderabad, nearby Hyderabad. And when they see the interest and the passion that I have for the Lord, they used to take me into their villages, where they come from. And they used to conduct small gospel meetings in their villages and ask me to preach the gospel in their villages. So like that we started the village ministry. They used to take me at least once in a month to a different village and conduct a small gospel meeting, preach the gospel, distribute the tracts, and we used to screen the Jesus film in those days in my language and come back to the city again. When we are visiting the poor and interior rural villages with the gospel of Jesus Christ, Spirit of God worked very powerful in those days to open new ways, new doors, to start a small satellite churches in the villages. That was the starting of our village ministry. Just very recently I came into the ministry, and just a few handful of people I have in the city church, and at the same time, God opened the doors to start the satellite churches in the village ministry. We have been going again and again every month to different villages, preaching the gospel and distributing the tracts and doing the evangelical work in the interior villages. When we are going into these villages like this, God is drawing the people into the salvation. God created interest to hear the word of God in those villages. But there are no Christians in many of those villages. In some of the villages, Seventh-day Adventist churches used to be, but they do not know the full gospel, in fact. They don't go, they have the church buildings, they never go to the churches, they don't have the proper teaching of the Bible in those days in those villages. So I could remember very well, once we went to one village, and in that village, from evening 4 o'clock to 6 o'clock, we went into the village. There are nearly 500 to 600 houses are there in that village. And we distributed the tracts from house to house. We gave counseling to some of the people. We gave the clear gospel. And they conducted, it was in the month of December. It was cool outside because of the winter season. So we were sitting in a small house that can fit maybe 20 to 30 people in a small room hall. So all these 30 people gathered together around 9 o'clock in the night. Because people go to the work, come back and eat, cook and eat, and they are free by 9 o'clock. That was the time to sleep, but that was the time to start our meetings in the villages. So by 9 o'clock we started. We were supposed to have 1.5 hour meeting or 2 hours meeting. So in our meeting we sang for 1 hour, not less than 1 hour at least. We sing songs. We have lots of leather drums and jaw sets. And we make lots of disturbances and we sing. They sang for 1 hour. After 1 hour, they asked me to teach the Bible. So I stood to teach the Bible at around 10 o'clock in the night. I spoke for 1 hour. It was 11 o'clock in the night. After I sat down, people started to ask me questions from the Bible. Believe me, it was 3 o'clock in the morning. By the time we finished that service, till 3 o'clock in the morning, they were asking many kinds of questions about salvation, about the word of God, about the family life, many other things.
So as they were asking, I keep on giving the answers how God gave me knowledge from the word of God. It was 3 o'clock in the morning. I was really just surprised and astonished within my heart. I could see the desire within their heart for the word of God. The desire I could see to hear the gospel in their life. And we came back to the city with all my team. And we took the rest. And God started to visit my soul after this meeting is done in the village. God was telling within my heart, could you see and understand the desire of the people in the villages? Could you see the need of the people in the villages? They need to have the gospel of Jesus Christ. They need teachers who can teach the word of God in their language, in their families. That's how God is preparing my soul. Then God filled my heart with a great burden to reach the villages with the gospel. Then we made a nice team from my central church, which is situated in Hyderabad. There are 15 to 20 people who really committed for the work of God, who wanted to come with me, travel with me into the villages, and stand with me in distribution of the tracts, and helping in singing the songs, and arranging on the lighting system and PA system to have a small gospel meeting in the villages. These 15, 20 people really helped with me to go into many hundreds of villages all these years. And by village, with the burden of God, with the burden to preach the gospel and to teach them the Bible, we have went into the villages by God's grace. By today, we have 50 village churches now. In 50 churches, we were able to establish the new churches. And we send pastors into the villages. They are working in the villages. Some of them have less people, like 50 believers, 60, 70 believers. Some of the pastors like John Mark and Naxal Joshua, they have some 200, 300 people in their churches, big and small. All the 50 pastors are working in the different villages, and each pastor is having one or two services in the different villages. Therefore, we really thank God for opening up the doors to reach the villages with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We know that we have great satisfaction for the work what we are doing, because when we go to the villages, not a single Christian you can find when we go for the first time. But now, if you go into the villages, there are at least 40 to 50 people are there worshipping the Lord, confessing the Lord, and praising the Lord, singing for the Lord. And we have a small church buildings, as we have seen in the pictures, and they are worshipping the Lord in those villages. It is all just not done by me, but with the prayers of many saints like you. Though you did not see me, though you did not come and see the ministry, what is happening in India, through your prayers and through the financial support you have been doing through Pastor Gene Cunningham and the Basic Bible Training Ministries, and through Pastor Ken Buck, through CORE, what he is doing, we were able to construct 104 churches in all these years by God's grace. Some churches we have under our banner, Grace Tabernacle Ministries, but most of the churches just we constructed and gave out the churches to the pastors. Then they are working freely, and they have the congregation and the wonderful ministry in the villages. Therefore, I take this opportunity to thank you for your prayers, and thank you for your financial support, and thank you. There are many, Christiana Brown, she came many times, and Sister Amory, she came many times with Nancy, Sister Donna, if I'm not wrong, okay? And she came one or two times, and there is another sister this morning I met somewhere. And she came once, I think. So it's a great encouragement for us whenever you come, men and women, and participate in the work what we are doing in India. This is a great encouragement for us, great help to us. It's not only finance the help. When you come and teach our people, when you come and show the love of God, it's a great encouragement to me, to my family, to all our pastors, and all the churches who are working with us in the villages. Therefore, if God leads you, if God provides you finance, if God opens the door, please do come in connection with the pastors and however God leads you to come and visit our ministry. May not be Indian ministry. I'm not speaking simply from the Indian side. There are many third world countries wherever God leads you. Brother Jeff goes to Zambia, and Sister Amri and Ozzy are going to Nagaland this month, I think, next week. So, when I see your church, I was so much excited when I see many families are going out for the mission work. It was a wonderful thing to take the love of God, spread the love of God in many ways when you go for the mission trips like this. Therefore, I would encourage you to have a great love for the third world countries and bring the gospel and do the help whatever you can. If you are unable to come, please kindly continue to pray for the ministry and continue to help in whatever way you can help in this ministry. Therefore, in this way, we have started the satellite churches in the villages, and God is working through. Still, we don't feel that we have done anything greater, but still there is a desire within our heart to take the gospel into many more villages, because there are hundreds and thousands of villages who never heard at least once in their life the gospel. Our desire, we have a slogan in our Grace Tabernacle Ministries: there should be no village without a pastor. There should be no village without hearing the gospel. That's our slogan we taught to our believers in the Central Church. Not a single village should be left out without hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is our responsibility as the local country people to take the gospel into the villages, and we are praying to put up the churches as many we can, because we die away, we go away, but churches remain. And we believe that in those churches will be used for the cause of the gospel of Jesus Christ in India. That's what our desire in India. Therefore, kindly help in this regard, in the ministry, whatever we are, God is leading us to do in India. And other thing, Pastor Jean is very much helpful all these years in regard to the Bible college ministry. When we are establishing the churches in the villages, I came short of the pastors, in fact, because doors are opened to go and start the ministry in the villages, but I did not have pastors to go and stay in the villages and to start the assemblies in the villages. That's where God gave us a burden to start a small Bible training center, which we call Grace Bible College. It was started 9 years, it is 10 years back. In 2002 we started, almost 10 years passed. In these 10 years, we have sent 9 graduated batches. In each batch there are 25 to 30 students studied with us. We looked after everything for whole year, and we trained them, we give them equipment, whatever we can, with the help of this dear Pastor Jean and Ken Buck, and with all the saints whom we cannot recall, everybody. We gave them literature like Telugu, Bibles and commentaries and dictionaries, and we are giving the, what you call, megaphones, the audio megaphones, which are recorded Telugu Bible. There are pastors who cannot read also. Still they have passion and call in their lives to preach the gospel. To them we are helping audio megaphones. This last 2 weeks back, Pastor Jean and Nancy brought somewhat 45 pieces to give to the pastors. So we sent almost 9 batches. Since 3 years we have been doing in an entirely different way. I do not know if I am running out of the time. Brother John, you need to tell me. Where is John? Okay. You need to tell me when I have to stop. Huh? 5 minutes? Okay. Okay, that's okay. I can stop whenever you want. Okay, that's okay. So since 3 years God gave us a burden, as I roam a lot in the villages, there are many pastors. They are doing the ministry, they have churches, they have congregations, but they do not have basic training in the Bible. Even there are pastors who are doing the ministry, they do not know how many books in the Bible, at our surprise. So God gave us burden to collect all these pastors and give them basic training in the Bible, in the Word of God. So last year, I have collected 70 pastors. We started the class with 70 pastors. They all are untrained pastors, living and working in the villages. And some of them do not read the Bible also, but they have nice congregations like 100 people. One pastor has 250 people. He never went to any Bible training. I do not know how he is preaching on Sunday to 250 people without having any knowledge of the Word of God. That's where God gave me burden to bring all these pastors. We gave them training for 10 long months. Monthly they come for 5 days to our Hyderabad city, into our central church. Those 5 days from Monday through Friday, they just live with me in the building. And I call Pastor Jean or other pastors whom Pastor Jean arranges to teach these pastors. From Monday till Friday evening, we will teach the pastors a subject from the Bible. In the first month, I was teaching New Testament survey. Second month, we taught Old Testament survey. Third month, you came and taught 1 Peter, all the 5 chapters. So all these 10 months, we are giving basic information and the basic biblical doctrines and basic knowledge of the Word of God to equip these pastors with the Word of God so that they can go back and teach their congregations the good teaching of from the Bible. Last year, last January, we sent 60 pastors out of 70. 60 were graduated, and we sent them with the certificates and all the literature that we can give. And they all are very happy and equipped to continue the village ministry in their churches. This year, there's the second batch. We have 45 pastors. Now the training is going on. Kindly pray for the 45 pastors. Just 3 months training we finished. We have still 7 more months. And there is an open door. If there is anybody from this Crossroad Bible Church want to come to Hyderabad, teach our pastors. They are very eager, passionate to learn the Word of God. They were so blessed when Pastor Jean came and teaching from the 1 Peter, all the 5 chapters. They were so encouraged and they were very much equipped and blessed and went there back to their homes. Therefore, there is a open door. If anybody of you, any one of you who can teach these pastors from the Word of God, you are welcome and invited to come and teach our pastors and see our village churches what they have been doing. Therefore, it has been a great blessed ministry to train the pastors all these years. Therefore, this is the 9th batch what we are training now. Kindly pray for this pastor's training and kindly keep this thing in our prayers. And other thing I need to talk, the children ministry especially. It was a wonderful ministry, as you know. Since I was born and brought up in a small, very crooked village. When I was born in my village, if it rains, I used to walk knee-deep clay. You know mud? When it rains, dirty roads, muddy roads. When it rains, we don't have proper roads. There is no concrete road, no any other nice road. On the muddy clay road, we need to walk. Knee-deep clay, we used to walk to go to the schools in the rainy season. Such a rural and crooked village I was born and brought up. I never had an opportunity to go to the Sunday school in all my childhood. When I started the ministry, God gave me special burden to teach the little kids. That's where I started the little Sunday school in my Hyderabad church. Then in one summer, I wanted to conduct a VBS, Vacational Bible School, for these little kids. We have 40 to 50 kids in those days. But I was not
well enough to feed these kids and to give any material to these kids like drawing pencil or the crayons or the books, things like that. So I had a friend who is a school principal. We were best friends. My friend. I told about the desire I have for the kids. Then he told, "Brother, I want to help you in the material and the money. You go ahead and conduct the VBS," he said. First VBS I conducted with the 50 kids. And this man bought crayons, pens and pencils and whatever the things I need stationery for these kids. We had very wonderful, successful 50 VBS classes with these 50 kids. That was the starting of my VBS classes. As I was doing every year, Sister Nancy came in 2001. She came and saw the ministry. She expressed her desire to engage in to help in the children ministry. That was the time I was looking for somebody to help, because I cannot teach the children and adults and everybody at the same time. I have three Sunday school teachers who take care of the Sunday school at present. We have 120 Sunday school children in our central church itself now. When she came, we had around 150 kids for the first time. 150 kids. And she keep on coming. Then we had 300 kids, 500 kids, 600 kids. Now we have 15 to 1600 kids every year for the VBS classes, what we conduct in the month of April and May. Therefore, I want you to pray for this children ministry as it is growing and growing, and teachers are finding difficulty as it is going to bring all the material, and I am finding difficulty to control all these things, but God is helping us because God loves the children, and we are sending as much material we can send with them into their homes, especially with the kids. They are children from the Muslim homes. They are children from the Hindu homes. They are children from the nominal Christian homes. I can never go and step into the Muslim house to preach the gospel. There is no way for me to go into the Muslim's house and sit with them to share the gospel. But this literature, the books which Ian Coote draws, the crafts that you are cutting and painting and laminating and sending through Nancy, each craft speak to the children and the adults in their families. And we have many testimonies through this literature and stuff we are sending through the kids. Adults are accepting the Lord Jesus Christ, coming into our church and being baptized and became our church members also. Not only in my church, in my neighborhood, we have small, nearly 60 to 70 churches where I am living within the area called Borabanda. In all the churches we can find, when the children go and take the literature into their homes, parents are very much affected and opened their eyes and understanding and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, it's not only the ministry of the children. Indirectly, we are ministering into the hearts of the adults also. Kindly, I would like to ask you to pray for the ministry. And I have many other details, but which I cannot wrap up in this time. If God wills, maybe next Sunday I will be here, I think. Next Sunday I have more time. So kindly, with my folded hands, I thank you. This is the way of Indian style to thank you from the bottom of our hearts for all your prayers, for all your finances, for all your love and fellowship, and kindly continue to pray for us and support us as we are committed and standing in our country to take the gospel to our people. Once again, I thank you and praise God for this wonderful opportunity. Thank you very much, everybody.